What's up, everybody? Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70 football show, where we discuss the entire Big Ten from Rutgers to Ohio State. You can catch us every Monday breaking down the major games, storylines, and previewing the next week's slate. If you love the Big Ten, pack a bag, jump in the car, and enjoy the ride. As always, I'm your host, Jordan Williams, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dante. What's up, Dante? How you doing?
What's up, everybody? What's up, Jordan? How you doing, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm good. I think I said this the last time, but it's just a week closer to football season. Actually, when this episode drops, we'll be in game week. We'll have games.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, college football games. So we actually have a game to preview for that week. I mean, I can't be much better than that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. It's been a while. Y'all can't tell, but I got on my Najee Harris Steelers jersey right now. So I'm really excited for football.
Oh, yeah. And we have the Bears-Bills preseason game on in the background. I'm getting ready to buy my Justin Fields Bears jersey. So this is random, but like, Do you like jerseys? Like, really like jerseys? I never bought jerseys. Kind of really wear them, but like now I'm like, maybe it's because I have a job and can afford them a little bit. I want to start buying jerseys a little bit more.
So I've always wanted jerseys in a way, like certain players' jerseys, but I'm indifferent. They're kind of like, it's like I feel the same way about Jordans. Like I wouldn't actively buy Jordans. But I see the appeal, and for me, I certain people's jerseys I'm gonna buy. So like, you know, I got my Kobe's. I'd buy a Shaq right now. I want to get a Troy Polamalu. So like stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it. Honestly, like I got a Darius Leonard jersey, but I got that one for free. Justin Fields is like the first football jersey that like I really wanted to buy. I'm probably gonna get like a Kenny Moore or like a Jonathan Taylor jersey or something like that for the Colts. And then I want to get a LeBron jersey. I actually want to get all three LeBron jerseys. I want to get a jersey from each of his stops.
Okay.
And then I want to get a D-Wade jersey because he's my favorite player of all time.
And I still want a USA Kobe jersey, number 10.
That would go crazy.
I want one. I'm never going to get one because they're expensive. They got to be.
Yeah.
They got to be.
But my thing with jerseys, especially with like the LeBron and like the D-Wade ones and stuff, I don't really like wearing jerseys. So like, I want them for when I get a house.
Yeah,
I want to frame them and like put them in my man cave.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna get like two or three wears out of them and then put them up.
Yeah, so I like jerseys, but they be expensive. I just don't think anyone really looks good in jerseys. Basketball jerseys are a little bit different, but like football jerseys are just so big. It's just
it's more for the aesthetic.
Maybe in the 2000s when everything was supposed to be big, you could rock a jersey.
Oh yeah, easily.
But like nowadays, I'm like, and then like everything's tight now too. So like you have all these like skinny jeans with this jersey that looks like a dress. I don't know how we got on this topic. Jesus Christ. Okay. So. To get into the actual episode, this is our fourth and final installment of previews because, as I mentioned, next week we have games, and the week after that is actually week one. Next week is week zero, so we don't have as many games, but it's the start of football. So,
Big Ten at that.
Yep. Yeah, we do have a Big Ten game in week zero. It's actually going to be a pretty solid game, especially if you like the Big Ten. Like, if you're like an SEC or ACC person or whatever, you probably don't care. But if you're listening to this, you obviously like the Big Ten.
I don't know, man. ACC and Pac-12, they should start paying attention now, huh? Since there's a chance they could be merging, right? It makes sense. It's not like no one cares about those other conferences, but it just makes more sense to just make them smaller because I want to say maybe like I can't think of the word, but it's a lot less clutter.
Yeah,
in my eyes, if you just kind of do like three or four instead of what was it like eight something like that, nine, and then you got to go lower and lower like double A, triple A. So it's like might as well. Let's ruin the NCAA anyway.
The NCAA is already ruined, as we saw with the Baylor thing, where like there was no punishment issued for all that like sexual assault and everything. Like the NCAA has no control whatsoever. I do think the alliance is interesting because like essentially everybody's just like, yeah, the SEC screwed everybody. They're too close to ESPN, and ESPN screws everybody. They're gonna try to get, you know, this playoff and all this other kind of stuff in the favor. And then I saw another report, who knows if it's accurate, but like I saw another report that people feel like the SEC is going to like go under everyone with the playoff. So currently in the playoff, what was proposed is there's six what's it called? Automatic bids based on like conference championships. People are saying that they think that the SEC might try to go around that and get rid of auto bids, so it's just 12 spots. And if it's just 12 spots, the SEC could get like 7 in. So people fear that they may try to go, huh?
Could they? I feel like there's only like 4 good SEC teams.
Well, they would get those 4 in every year.
I mean, and you don't think the Big Ten would get like 3 in every year?
Well, that's the thing. So the Big Ten is never worried about this, but the Big 12, Pac 12, and ACC would be, because they would only get in Clemson. And well, the Pac 12 may not get in at all.
I just forgot. And like, because a few years down the road, when they get Oklahoma and Texas, yeah, they take more spots.
That's what they're talking about. So like, people are mad because.
But that's the SEC has been. For like a decade now, it hasn't been like a few years. They've only produced at a time maybe one or two good teams. Like Stanford hasn't been like elite in a while, stuff and teams like that. So like, Oregon hasn't been good since Baylor hasn't been good since RG3, and then of course the NCAA flopped on doing what they were supposed to do with them. So
yeah, I think everyone knows that the SEC is going to get teams in. The problem is that people fear that the SEC, like if you don't have the automatic bids, conference, like they fear that SEC teams will get in over conference champions.
Oh, okay. And you're probably right, because there has been times where there were some SEC teams with 3 L's kind of ranked pretty high.
Just because they were SEC teams, yeah. So, like, I don't know if the report is true that people think the SEC is going to do that, but at least that was put
down. I can see it happening.
Exactly. And then with the way that they're close to ESPN and all that kind of stuff, we don't know, you know, who at the Big Ten's pulling strings at the SEC, that kind of stuff. So the alliance makes sense. I'm just interested to see what it's actually going to be. Like, what, like, there's so many options aside from just like scheduling games. There's, you know, there's just a lot of questions out about like what they're actually going to do. And so I just want to see, but they said that, you know, it might come out early next week. So. We will see.
Okay, but we gonna see. We gonna see.
It's gonna be interesting. That's all I know.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. The next few years of college sports altogether is gonna be hilarious.
Oh yeah,
because this isn't just about. This doesn't really just affect football.
No, that's the thing that people forget. Because all these decisions are made for football, but it affects everything. Like people are talking about, they're like, all these schools should join the Pac-12, or like people should go and get Miami, all this other kind of stuff. And it's like, you forget, like, football can travel because there's so many people, they get private jets. But like your volleyball team, people are like, the Pac-12,
maybe wrestling,
yeah, they're like, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 should merge. And it's like, okay, well, WVU is still in the Big 12. And they're already far from all the Texas schools. Now you're saying WVU has to go play volleyball on Tuesday against Arizona?
Right.
That's not going to work.
That's expensive.
And they take buses or they take commercial flights. Oof. Like football, nobody cares about that. You can find that money. They can charter it anyway, because football's traveling party is stupid.
And you know, That's why what blows me is because that money, you know, when football brings in all that money to them schools, the schools have to spend it so it doesn't look like a profit. I don't understand why you wouldn't spend it on your other sports so they can travel, just like football, because football got enough money. The football teams, if they're good, they got enough money.
Yeah, I mean, they,
like Alabama, OSU's lifting and workout areas have been renovated like every 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, they do give money. They do fund the other sports, essentially.
Yeah,
but they don't fund them well.
I see.
Like, you know, they get the minimum up through.
I see.
Get them some uniforms every 5 years or something.
that's tragic.
Yeah,
like I didn't even think like the other sports are gonna. Because like baseball and college baseball isn't as popular as it once was. I don't think.
No.
So I don't know how much money. Oof, good lord.
Yeah, Andy Dalton just got.
Oof.
This is why Justin Fields don't need to play. Let Andy Dalton take these hits till they get that offensive line figured out. Because
that's tragic. That's rude. That's so wild. That's so wild. We probably should get into some because we've been 10 minutes in and haven't talked about
nothing.
Not really. Nothing really.
Yeah. So so in this episode, like I said, this is our fourth and final preview episode. Our last tier is Big Ten championship team, so we only have two. If you've been following along, if the math is math, then you know that the last two teams are Ohio State and Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
That should also not surprise anybody. There are some people who are picking like Iowa and stuff like that, but
what?
I don't believe in that.
Really?
People, you've seen it. People are a lot higher on Iowa than either of us are.
I mean, ranked for a little bit, but not for long.
No. And the thing is, their schedule is harder. I don't think people are looking at their schedule. Like, I get that, like, I not to rehash the Iowa conversation, but, like, I get that they're bringing people back and they look strong at the end of last year and that kind of stuff. But they have one of the harder schedules, too. Like, someone had Indiana going 11-1, and it's like, we're both high on Indiana, but Indiana's schedule is too hard to go 11-1.
Yeah.
They're going to be lucky to go 10-2. So, but let's you want to start with Wisconsin?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
We can do Wisconsin.
So, we're starting with Wisconsin. Wisconsin is almost always good. They had they had a down year last year. Well, for their standards, they had a down year. Since we're only talking about two teams, we're also going to do a little bit more of a deep dive into these teams just to, you know, give a little bit more, because these are the teams that, you know, at least according to us, we think that you should really focus on.
Right.
So for our weekly shout out of pick six previews, one thing that I think is interesting that we didn't really get a chance to talk about with the other teams because we didn't get to go that far in depth with them is where, again, according to pick six previews, where their units rank and who they have on their team that's projected to be all Big Ten. First team and second team. And I think this is important, you know, at least for these teams, since we have a little bit more time to kind of talk about it, because it kind of, I think, explains why we think they're going to be here. And we both are really high on them. Like,
I just think they're the best. What is it, the West, right?
Yep.
Yeah. They're probably the best team in the West. That would be probably coming out of the West. And I don't know. I don't think Iowa, because Iowa has to face Wisconsin. So there's no way I think Iowa is going to be in the Big Ten championship game if they have to face Wisconsin.
Exactly. So just to, before we, you know, start giving our opinion and stuff on a lot of these, the projected all Big Ten players from Wisconsin is their tight end, Jake Ferguson, which shouldn't surprise anyone. Wisconsin has a good tight end. But one thing that is kind of surprising is that it's their tight end over Ohio State's tight end and over Iowa's tight end, because Iowa typically has the better tight ends. The other one is Logan Bross, who's an offensive lineman. I also imagine that that is not surprising to anyone. The one thing that's kind of surprising is that their running back is on second team, because you could argue for a while that Wisconsin had the best running back. I mean, Ohio State has good running backs, but Wisconsin's line of running backs has just been crazy.
That's not surprising, because you said it yourself when we talked about Minnesota, and I agree that they have the best running back in the country.
Muhammad Ibrahim is. So when I say surprising, I don't mean with the actual people, because Muhammad is better. I just think it's surprising for their history that they typically have the better running back. So that the fact that like Minnesota has it this year is like, dang,
what happened? Ohio State not on here.
I actually disagree.
At all for running back.
Yeah, I agree with that from the instance of like a preview.
Oh, I lied. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, there's two running backs. Yeah, they have Trevion Henderson on here.
Yeah, I as soon as I said it, and then I saw it, like, oh, wait, no, that's a lie.
No, it's cool because I didn't see there was two running backs, so I was about to agree with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have Trevion. They have Jalen Berger, their running back, who is actually pretty solid for real. He's not what they used to have, but they had to dip eventually.
Yeah. I mean, they're not always on. Like, they can build. You never know what he might do this season.
Right.
So it's like, so they're probably like, they could probably, what's the word? I'm losing my words today, guys. I'm so sorry. But, develop.
Yeah, they can develop them.
They can develop. But,
how many years in a row can you have 2,000 yard rushers before the football gods
are in like, college yeah. football?
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, obviously, but like, eventually,
you gotta die. I think that could almost never go out. I think that's a fire that could always happen.
No, I'm saying one team. How many years in a row?
Yes. Yep.
It's not as common as you think. Wisconsin's like the only one that does it.
I know, and I still think which is crazy to me because like the way Ohio State, and we're gonna get into them later, but the way Ohio State's run on people, the Clemson themselves, you know how we don't like Clemson just because of their coach. Mm-hmm. If no one knows that by now, it's literally just because of Dabo. Other than that, I like Clemson, but
I don't have one good thing to say about Dabo Sweeney.
No, not a single thing. It's a terrible.
Like I'm gonna put it this way: if you think I'm hard on Jim Harbaugh, you don't want to hear my opinion on Dabo Sweeney. My hardness on Jim Harbaugh is just because he's a
bad coach. Yeah. He's a better coach that he's shown, and it's annoying.
It's like you know when you're mean to someone because you're disappointed.
Yep.
Like that's why. Like I just genuinely don't like Dabo Sweeney.
No, Dabo's a terrible person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not care for that man. No. I'm still waiting for him to step down from his coaching job.
Because NIL. And then he tried to play. Oh, yeah, I didn't say that. NIL is good. No. You said
it. No, you said it. There's video evidence. It was video evidence.
Literally. Come on now.
Like, you were recorded, man. That was in 4K.
Man, but so going to the defense, Wisconsin has linebacker Jake Sanborn on defense first team, and then they have DB Caesar Williams, which is a surprise to me because when did Wisconsin get good DBs? Like they've always been good.
Apparently this year.
Yeah.
Or last year.
So I think.
Well, I mean, they're pretty high last year and in the past defense, so.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. That's why they're on here.
No, I agree. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. I won't say that people are down on Wisconsin, right? But people aren't as high on them as we are, and I'm just not seeing why.
Yeah, I'm confused. In my eyes, if we were gonna have to, because I don't know who sent. I don't know if it was you or somebody else that sent me something, but it was you because you had tagged me on Twitter. By the way, follow me on Twitter. I'm gonna just do it now. Since I brought it up, but follow me on Twitter at Dante RM 10216. But how high Michigan was on that? So it's just if any other team could make it out the Big Ten, if Ohio State just out of nowhere just disappeared, it'd be Wisconsin.
Honestly, and here's the thing: if we're honestly talking about it, right? There's a lot of teams. There's a lot of teams nationally who do not want to see Wisconsin.
No.
Ohio State doesn't want to see Wisconsin.
Not really.
They pull it out, but they don't want to see Wisconsin. Like,
I'll tell you right now, Clemson. I don't think Clemson wants to see
Wisconsin. Alabama would beat Wisconsin. I'm sure that Alabama would beat Wisconsin. I'm sure Ohio State would beat Wisconsin. I'm sure Oklahoma would beat Wisconsin.
I'm not sure. I'm not completely sure Oklahoma would.
The only reason I say Oklahoma is their offense is just so good. But they don't want to see it because, like, they're going to leave that. They're going to feel that game. You know how, like, sometimes you lose a fight. It's like, I lost, but, like, he felt it. Mm-hmm. Like, he got a black eye, bloody nose.
Because it's like, who actually lost that game?
Yeah,
that fight.
It's like on the scoreboard you won, but just
split
like,
decision. You know,
I think it'd be one of it. I just think, but actually, I mean, you might be right. I don't know.
There's a lot. I tell you right now, Georgia
don't want to see Wisconsin.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. If they have to see him in a bowl game, that's a hell.
Yeah, especially because Georgia's biggest thing is running the ball. Like, you could beat Wisconsin passing, but even now they have a DB who's highly ranked. So like,
two of them. You got a third round. Oh, you are only looking at second. I'm looking at third.
They have another one.
Yeah, in the third team.
So if you can't run on them, and now it's hard to pass, and finally, they actually have a real quarterback in Graham Mertz, who we're going to talk about, because he looked solid before he got injured. I don't think he's someone that's ever going to be in the running for like best quarterback in the Big Ten. But his biggest prop is he can actually throw.
It'll be something like he won't get that top ranking in the Big Ten, but he'll definitely get drafted high.
Most likely, because like here's the thing, right? When's the last time Wisconsin had a quarterback who could throw? It was Russ.
Yeah.
None of the other quarterbacks could throw. He can actually throw, which changes their entire offense.
Yeah.
Because they're always going to be able to run, but like you used to be able to put 8-9 men in the box because they could never throw. Like you could have a dude wide open 50 yards down the field, but their quarterback couldn't throw 50 yards. You can't do that no more with Graham Mertz because he'll hit him. And now you had 9 people in the box and they're running. He just burned your corner, and now that's 7, and now you got to go against the defense.
Yep,
that doesn't sound fun.
So that big Ten game. I hope it's exciting. I really do hope it's not it doesn't come out to be a stinker.
Yeah,
what was it? Brock Lesnar versus I can't think of that dude's name, but he. I swear, Brock Lesnar lost in the first round, but they let him survive, and then he choked him out in the second round, and ended up taking the belt from him. But I can't remember who that fighter was.
I know what you're talking about, but
Holmgren.
Okay,
yep,
I remember that. And here's the thing, though: the reason why I'm confident that Ohio State can beat Wisconsin is because Ohio State can play dirty because they play in the Big Ten, so like they have to play these teams that get a lot of tight ends that run. They have to play tough. Clemson don't play nobody tough.
No,
like, they don't play nobody tough. They get
unless they see maybe one.
Like all of them are like if we're gonna put them in categories, all of them are, like finesse teams. Oklahoma's trying to get tough. You know, we're not breaking down Oklahoma, but I've been hearing a whole bunch of reports about how it finally looks like they have a defense, and there's like players on their defense who look like they could play at like Ohio State, Alabama, and stuff like that. Because before they didn't have a defense.
But
I agree, but like Oklahoma, that's Oklahoma's problem. They couldn't play smash mouth football. They could only finesse.
And they're going to have to pretty soon. They're going to have to get it.
So Wisconsin is good, but Ohio State is better and can match them in smash mouth football. I think Alabama typically can do that. But all these other teams in the country, like, what are you going to do when their line? I'm
bulldozing.
I'm making this up, but I imagine that their line is on average like 6'5", 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, they always have one of those good lines. And I think sometimes, like, what I've always noticed with, especially in the Big Ten, is when another team besides Ohio State's really, really good, they play Ohio State and they just, I don't know. I think it's like they're scared of Big Brother. I think a lot of these teams are scared, and it is so sad. Because, like, there's been times where I go, Ohio State could easily lose this game, and they're not. They're just not going to lose it.
Yeah. I mean, there's been multiple times. It's just the thing is with good offense, it's hard to keep them down forever. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing. Like, with a lot that happens, a lot of times.
That's why you have to put your will on them early. You got to beat them up early.
Yeah. And you have to play the full 60 minutes, and that's the hard thing. You know, you can get a couple of stops in the first half, be up 14, look real good. They make a couple of
adjustments. No, you got to go up 28.
Yeah, like it's not like 14, not enough. That's 2 drives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they'll do one of them really quick. 1-2 plays, boom, touchdown. Yep.
So, and speaking of, I'm trying to see if there's anything on here.
Top receiver Danny Davis only played in 2 games, while number 2 Kendrick only played in 3. So they're getting receivers back.
Yeah. I mean, they have. I think just about everyone on their offensive line is a 4 or a 5 star, to the point that they have 4 or 5 stars as their backups.
Oh no.
That's a good team. That's going to be a really good team.
Yeah. Hold on. And then, right, in the 2021 recruiting class, they had Nolan Rucci, who was a five-star. They had four-star tackle Riley Mauman and a four-star lineman, JP. I'm not even going to try to say that name. Each one of those players ranked number one in their respective cities.
Okay.
So it's like,
oh, they had a really, really good recruiting class.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. Like, Wisconsin almost all, that's the other thing people are forgetting. Like, Wisconsin almost always outplayed their recruiting classes, but now they're recruiting better. So they're recruiting better, right? They actually have a quarterback that can throw. They still have four or five star monsters on their offensive line. They're always going to have a tough defense. And out of nowhere, they also got some DBs now. And they're not going to win the Big Ten West.
Please. They're gonna single handedly take it.
I don't think it's gonna, like, unless someone gets injured, which we never risk injury on people.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely don't want that.
Unless someone gets injured or Grant Mertz is not as good as he looked before he got injured last year and, like, the COVID stuff, I don't know if they play a significantly close game. I think, well, no, they play Penn State. That game would be close. But they play that game one.
And that's the only reason why it's going to be close, because it's game one, so it's going to be sloppy.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If they beat Penn State, I think they beat everyone but Ohio State. Because we already talked about Penn State. We're high on Penn State. We think Penn State's good.
Yeah. Oh, okay, because that's true, because I got my L coming from somewhere, from someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? That's definitely going to I'm going to be wrong about that game, which is so sad.
Which one?
The Notre Dame game.
Oh, Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now that I think about it, Notre Dame don't want to see Wisconsin either.
They don't.
Not at all.
And Notre Dame has – who backup quarterback do they have? Do they have Wisconsin's old quarterback? Is Jake Cohen Wisconsin's old quarterback? Hold on.
We're sitting in front of all this technology, and he just trying to guess.
Yep,
it is.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, they're gonna. So, guys, I'm sorry, I have to change.
Yeah,
what I think.
Notre Dame's starting quarterback is the dude who lost his job to Graham Mertz. What did that say about him?
He can't throw. That's their starting quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah, they should win every game. Yeah, you're right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because now if he can't throw and Wisconsin can cover.
I'm telling you, I'm not high on Notre Dame. I'm not. And we don't have time to. I wish we could talk about it a little bit more, because I think there are two or three Big Ten. And maybe we will when we do the preview of those games. We can get into a little bit more. But I'm not high on Notre Dame. I don't think they're going to be good this year. I think they lost too much talent.
Their preseason ranking is pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Or pretty
I think
bad.
So.
I didn't pay attention. But to where they were.
The other thing is, like, a lot of people don't like Ian Book. I don't think he was the best quarterback, but he had a decent arm and he could run. Jake Cohen is not better than Ian Book.
Yeah, because decision making can be taught. That can be taught.
Ian Book led them as far as he could lead them. So just the one player. We're not talking about the other players they lost, because they did lose other players. Yeah. But just the one player, the so-called most important position, if you get worse at quarterback, how are you going to be better?
Mm.
Not to
mention the defense.
Like, come on now.
Yeah. All right, so I changed my mind. So we're
they lost their starting tackle because he's in the NFL now. They lost Chase Claypool 2 years ago and haven't replaced him.
True.
Like,
loving him on our team.
That should be the jersey you get. That's a solid one.
That's going to be another one I might get later on.
If he has a solid year this year, like, and you decide to buy another offensive jersey, I think that's the one.
Because
him and Najee are really going to be your...
Yeah, it's got to be a home jersey. I do not like our away jerseys. I don't like the all-white jerseys. I don't. it puts fear in my eyes, like I'm gonna mess it up.
Oh, I'm weak. But like, okay, so back to Wisconsin. So they were not very good last year, but it's things that are like not typical. So for example, they were 62nd in the country in rushing offense. Who thinks that's being repeated?
Not at all. I think that gets I think that's because of probably like injuries and missing players.
Yeah,
I think they didn't play on the line, and I think that gets shored up, and that goes back up into like the 20s.
They were 83rd in yards per carry at 3.9 yards per carry. Who thinks that gets repeated? I think it's illegal. Like, literally, there's a law in the state of Wisconsin that says that they cannot rush for under 4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
No, that's not happening.
It has to.
They were 100.
They're L's besides the Iowa game. They're close.
Yeah, and that was with dealing with a bunch of COVID issues and stuff like that. They were 103rd in explosive rush. Again, who thinks that's happening again?
Yeah, I don't think none of that gets repeated, especially not in the passing. That's coming down.
No, and then they return 84% of production. So they should. They hopefully should be healthier, like you said, more developed. Because Jalen Berger was a good running back. I'm pretty sure he was from New Jersey. He's a good running back, but like he wasn't Jonathan Taylor. He wasn't some of the other. He wasn't Monty Ball, whatever. But he was a good running back. So you give him another year. And a non-COVID year. He's faster, he's stronger, he's smarter.
And a more polished offensive line.
More polished offensive line.
Yeah, because explosive rushes, that's offensive line. That's creating holes and stuff like that. That's pushing the defense back. And I think that one, and I think that's probably the problem why that happens. So once you get that offensive line shirt up, he becomes a better running back.
Because exactly, like, so everything for me,
passing becomes better. Yeah,
everything's trending upward, right? Like, especially because these things were like such stark drops. It's almost like when we talked about Penn State. It's like that's not a trend. Like when it falls off, like you expect that they're gonna write it, because it wasn't like they like gradually got worse, and you could see like the recruiting getting worse, their players are getting worse. Maybe like what kind of happened with Michigan State, like maybe the coach isn't in it no more, and it's just not like clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's getting better, and they just had a bad year.
Yep,
it's just not gonna happen again. And I think, you know, they had Jonathan Taylor. I don't think people, you know, talk about how. Sometimes how losing special players affects you.
Mm-hmm.
They had Jonathan Taylor for 3 years, and you are the next Jalen Berger. You're the next guy, and you have to replace Jonathan Taylor, and you have to live up to decades of Wisconsin running back glory. And again, and like I hate saying it because I feel like I'm making excuses for people, but we're doing injustice if we don't talk about how the pandemic affected these teams.
It's not an excuse because it's true. It was a significant thing that happened. Not like it was a global scale. So that's significant, and it has to be brought up.
And then on top of that, right? I didn't realize this. Mm-hmm. Graham Mertz was a 5-star.
Mm.
So like not even was he just like a guy that like showed up, like they recruited a 5-star quarterback to Wisconsin, which means they wanted to be able to throw the ball.
Yeah, no, you don't get they're going to be good. They're going to be really good.
You don't get a 5-star quarterback to hand the ball off. Like, they wanted to change. Like, they're still going to run most of the time. Like, that's their identity, right? But, like,
it's going to be a lot of play action that gets off. That's going to, like, that's.
Come on, like. Again, they have they're returning 84% of their production.
That's a really good number. That's like second behind who was it that's returning 90%, I think you said a few weeks ago or last week.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly who it was, but like 84%, that's a lot.
That's going to be really good.
Like, you know, we talked about their offensive line because, like you said, the explosive rushing stuff is offensive line. Their offensive line wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they have a former top 100 recruit starting at right guard, right? They have another 5-star, you know, starting. And this guy, his name is Logan Brown. He's the second highest recruit in program history.
Oh. Okay.
And as a freshman, they said he was working into the rotation. So he's going to start. And he's going to be a 2 or 3 year starter for them. Like I said, they have Nolan Rucci, who's a freshman, I think, this year, a 5-star. From like, I'm not seeing it. Like, what is it to say that they're not going to be good? Like, I think I put it up because I wanted to, because we talked about it. So we got this from Sideline Sports, and they were high on Wisconsin. So I don't want to say that they weren't. They had them 11-1. So I think we agree on that. They were kind of different on some of the other ones. But, like, they have them going 11-1, 9-1 conference. Like, we're not the only ones that's high on Wisconsin. But I just hear a bunch of stuff from, like, Iowa and other things like
that. 9-1 in a conference, who are they losing to?
No, I'm sorry. 9-0 in conference. 11-1 total.
Okay, because I was like, who?
Yeah.
Who could they possibly be losing to in the conference?
And then, right, listen to this. Because I love that those stats, and we have them. So just listen. I'm just going to point out some of them. Number 10 in scoring defense. Number 5 in total defense. Number 5 in third down conversion. Number 5 in rush defense. They didn't allow 100 yards a game. You know how hard that is?
And they went up against...
And the Big Ten at that?
They went up against Minnesota. Indiana.
All good running teams. Number 2 in completion percentage. Allowed.
Yeah, 50%.
When did they get a good pass defense? Like, maybe this is a me thing and someone can tell me, but I remember Wisconsin being really strong against the run, and I remember their pass rush was crazy. They always blitz, and that was, like, their pass defense. It was like, yeah, if you get the time, you can beat us.
Because they have really good run, really good running backs and really good
linebackers.
Edge rushers.
Yeah, but they're outside linebackers because they play a 3-4. They blitz a lot and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure they play a 3-4. So now they're number 2 in completion percentage allowed. They were number 12 in QB rating, number 18 in yards per attempt, number 31 in pass defense allowed in a game. Wisconsin with the passing defense is scary.
Yeah, because they stop you. They stop you. Because they stop you on third down.
Because
now, they get you off the field.
Yeah, because now what you can't say, which I think you used to be able to say, now what you can't say is, you can't say, if we can block the blitz, we can score.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, if you could block the blitz, your wide receivers would get open. Mm-hmm. And I still think, like, a school like Ohio State, if they play like Alabama or something, or maybe Oklahoma, a school like that with those level of wide receivers are still going to get open.
Yeah, they'll have their moments, but it'll be a hard fought battle.
Exactly. It wasn't like that before.
Mm-hmm.
So again, how are they not going to be good?
Yeah, next to Ohio State,
like they're gonna lose to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. And mess around and play like Florida or Texas A&M.
No. Florida, maybe LSU. I think LSU is gonna. I feel like LSU is gonna sneakily somehow be good. You know, but at the same time, probably not. But I think that would be the second team.
It's gonna be
if not Georgia.
Well, maybe.
Because if you don't think Auburn's gonna be good, you think it's gonna be Texas A&M. That's going to be the second team in the SEC?
No, it's going to be Alabama. I think Georgia's going
to be. No, the second team. Yeah. I said second. Alabama's going to be.
No, Georgia's going to be the best team in the SEC this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nah.
I'm with that. Yes.
No.
Listen, yes.
Not at all.
I'm telling you it's going to happen. Here's the thing, right, that people are forgetting about Alabama lost their quarterback. And yes, Bryce Young is good. I'm not saying that he's not. But he's still young, right? Mm-hmm. At a certain point, there's attrition, right? And Ohio State's going to deal with this a little bit next year, too, even though they recruited good. Alabama, in four straight years, lost the best wide receivers they've ever had. And they had, like, freaking Calvin Ridley and, like, other players. Like, they lost a slew of that. They lost Najee Harris, their best running back you have on his jersey. They lost Landon Collins, their center. Like, Alabama loses players.
All the time.
But not this level.
Yeah.
They lost more this year.
It happened with what's due at Tennessee? what's the running back at Tennessee? Derrick Henry. It happened his draft class. It happened Mark Ingram's draft class. Okay. It happened Trish Richardson's.
When was Derrick Henry's? Because is that the year they didn't make the playoffs?
I don't know.
There was a year they didn't make the playoffs. And then you have the 2014 year where Ohio State beat them. There are years where Alabama is vulnerable after they lose a bunch of people.
Yeah, but they're still going to be the best team.
Yeah, here's the thing. Georgia has recruited better than Alabama.
Okay.
And the one thing that Georgia finally has, I don't think he's the best quarterback, but I think he's good. They have JT Daniels. And JT Daniels was a good starting quarterback. The only reason he's at Georgia is he got injured and they found a better quarterback. But it wasn't like the Jake Cohen thing where it's like he's a bad quarterback and they found a better one. Like JT Daniels would be just fine at USC. They just found a better one. And they went with the younger one, which makes sense. That's fine.
Yeah.
But JT Daniels, I believe, would start at 75% of schools in the country. Like, he's actually solid.
Mm-hmm.
So, they have less returning production. Their biggest problem is they always didn't have a quarterback. Georgia has always played Alabama close. And here's the other thing with Alabama, right? Alabama's defense has been declining recently. Not to the point where you say it was bad, and not to the point where it was as bad as Ohio State's last year, but it's bad by their standard. So, their defense is getting worse. Again, worse is relative, bad for Alabama. And their offense is not going to be as good because last year they had arguably the greatest offense ever. That makes them vulnerable. And by vulnerable, that means they can lose to Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia. I'm not picking nobody else. Some people are picking Ole Miss because Ole Miss is going to have a stupid, crazy offense and they almost beat them last year.
Yeah.
But like Alabama being vulnerable means they have one loss. And
I don't put Clemson on there. I don't think Alabama or Ohio State ever wants to lose to Clemson ever again, and I don't think they'll allow it.
I don't think so either. I'm just trying to respect Clemson and the fact that they're still good. I don't think Clemson's going to be as good as they were. I think Clemson, of the three, of the four, including Georgia, Clemson's going to be the worst one, in my opinion. Okay. And they may still go 12-0 because there's no one in the ACC, but they're going to get blown out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But then actually they're not going to go 12-0 because they play Georgia, and Georgia's going to beat them in week one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Alabama gets the benefit of the doubt, but Georgia's been close, and Georgia's biggest problem has always been they never had a quarterback because they let Justin Fields go to Ohio State. Thank you again.
They had, wasn't it them that had Jake Fromm?
Yeah, he was not good.
He was all right for them.
No, we didn't. Right. No, he wasn't.
They had a whole story on him on ESPN. They had
three quarterbacks. They had three, and they chose the worst one. They let Jacob Eason go to Washington, and Jacob Eason's better than Jake Fromm. And it's the similar thing what's happened with USC. He got injured. The other guy did good. But the difference is I believe USC's quarterback is actually better than JT Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Fromm just had a Cardale Jones year. Like, he had a couple of good games. Like, he's our guy. And then let Jacob Eason transfer. And then Justin Fields came in, and they were just blind. Like, three blind mice. Like, there's no way you can tell me that in practice Justin Fields was not. Like, there's no way you could tell me you didn't look at him and say he's a better quarterback. And they didn't play him. He transferred, and they had to play Jake Fromm.
Mm.
He's ass. He's about to get cut. He's on the Bills. He's about to get cut.
I didn't think he was a NFL quarterback.
Yeah, that's. But you need an NFL quarterback to be Alabama.
Yeah,
like you can't have a college quarterback. Like,
true.
Think about who'd be Alabama: Trevor Lawrence. Who else has Alabama lost to? Joe Burrow. Who else has Alabama lost to recently? It's not that many losses. But everyone they've lost to had a NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Regardless, that's not the point.
We're supposed to be talking about Wisconsin. That's the point. Yeah, because I truly don't think. Because even if you think Georgia is going to be the best team in the SEC, which I still don't think so, they'll lose to Wisconsin.
Georgia?
Yeah. I think they will lose to Wisconsin.
I think Alabama and Georgia. Georgia might lose to Wisconsin, but it'll be because Wisconsin played the best game of their life. I think it'll be really close. Georgia, I think Georgia's really good.
Yeah.
But like outside of Alabama and Georgia, I think every other team in the SEC would lose
to Wisconsin. Yes.
Including Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And Texas A&M is supposed to be good, but like, was
they still think Florida? I've been seeing people think Florida is going to be good. I don't think so.
Define good. 9-3, 8-4.
Something like that. That's what I think they're going. I think they're going to be something like that. But I think people think they're going to be a little better.
No, they had the greatest tight end in college football history.
Yeah,
you don't replace him.
Yeah, he's done. They're done. Yeah, he's gonna be. It's gonna be funny because the Falcons are gonna be terrible,
except for him.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't think he's gonna be good?
Oh, I forget. Matt Ryan's the one still throwing the ball, but I'm not even gonna get into it.
Yeah,
we already know how. I'll call somebody overrated immediately.
Yeah, Matty Ice. Okay, so let's wrap this up because we've been talking about this forever. We're at 45 minutes, and I think we spent 15 minutes on Wisconsin.
No, I think we talked about Wisconsin longer than that.
Okay, so let's go through the schedule. There's not much we have to go through with the schedule because we both think that they're going to be really good, as we said, for 30 minutes. We both have them 12-0. Well, 12-1 because we put in the loss. We think we're going to lose to Ohio State,
right?
But we have them winning. Their toughest one of their toughest games starts out immediately. They have Penn State. I think they win that game. We already said Penn State's going to be good, but Wisconsin should be better. If they lose that game,
I still think they make it to the Big Ten championship.
I think so too. If they lose that game, I think that's their only loss.
Yeah.
Then they play Eastern Michigan. That's a win. They have a stupid early bye. Like that's the worst thing that like
that stinks. That does suck. That does suck for them. Yeah,
you shouldn't even be allowed to have a bye at week three.
Because what are you taking a break from? Just getting started. Like what's the break for?
You're not even tired.
You just started getting the playbook, remembering everything and stuff. Start stretching.
You just figured out like those last couple position battles that you let go into the first couple of games. You just figured those out.
It's like, all right, break.
But then off the bye, they get Notre Dame. They're gonna destroy Notre Dame.
That's gonna be.
You can't bet.
I'm watching that game. I am gonna watch that game.
You can't bet in Ohio, but whatever the betting numbers are, I'm betting the over. I think Notre Dame can beat them by like 21.
Wow, actually, now that I look at Wisconsin, Penn State, Iowa, they're the only like tough.
Yeah.
Tough games.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin can beat Notre Dame by like 21.
Oh yeah,
and then they're gonna follow it up and beat Michigan by like 31.
40.
Okay.
40. So
then they have Notre Dame and Michigan, and that's like two people who.
Oh, that Army game gonna be. that's just rude. That's gonna be a blowout, and I'm skipping games. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just looking.
So they play Illinois, then they play Army, then they play Purdue, then they play Iowa. That's a tough game, but they're gonna win. Then they play Rutgers, Northwestern, Nebraska, and Minnesota. So they don't have the hardest schedule, but they don't have the
Minnesota easiest. Tough. But yeah,
there's some sneaky games. They have Penn State, Notre Dame. You know, Northwestern, Iowa, and Minnesota. They were gonna play those ones anyway because they're all in the West.
Yeah. And I tell you this, if they do lose to Penn State first week, they're definitely winning the rest of their game.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to lose another one.
They're definitely not going to lose another one until they lose to Ohio State.
And Penn State is an acceptable loss because it's on the East. Mm-hmm. They're not going to lose to anyone in the West.
Nope.
Okay. Nope. So that's Wisconsin. We have them 12-1. We have them. Going to let's be honest. I have them 13-1. We're gonna go 12-0, lose to Ohio State, and then destroy whoever they play in the bowl game. And I don't care who it is, unless I'm right about Georgia, and somehow Alabama doesn't sneak in at the 4 seed, and they play Alabama in the New Year 6, which would suck for them. They're beating literally any other team in the country, and I'm gonna say that right now.
Yeah.
So 13-1. All right, so we're going to take a quick break for our commercials because we keep forgetting to do this for our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. All right, so welcome back to the I-70s football show. Now we get to talk about Ohio State, who is just going to be fun to talk about because there's really nothing to say. They're going to be good. They have the best roster in the Big Ten. They recruit really well. Like, talking about Ohio State from like an analytical point is
boring.
Because it's like everything that should be, but like, okay. So let's start with the things that should be bad about Ohio State. Their defense was not good last year.
It was not.
It was just really, really bad. Like not even like Alabama, where I mentioned like, oh, this is bad for Alabama standards. No, like it was just genuinely bad. Does anyone think that's going to happen a second year in a row?
Maybe.
I don't think so. I think at best this year it becomes bad.
It might rear its ugly head in important games where they give up too many. Like, you know where you know when like, so guys, there's been times where I see him and one of my closest friends Brandon tweet about Ohio State games, and it's so funny because you would think it's either close or they're losing. You go look at the game and it's 40-21. So it's like, so I think it'd be stuff like that, like where they gotta face, you know, a tough task for them, or at least should be a tough task in the Big Ten for them, and they'll give up 400 or 500 yards, but still win by 20.
Yeah. Well, speaking of 400 yards, right? In total defense, they were 59th, and they allowed 400 yards per game. But here's the thing. Like, really bad for Ohio State is 59th.
I mean, yeah.
Bad for Ohio State is like 30. I think at max, they're bad for Ohio State.
Okay.
You give them a top 30 defense, that's solid. They should be top 10. Like, they should be top 10 every single
really?
Year.
Okay.
They should be.
Okay.
Every single year.
I
but this year, when I say that, I mean like the history one. I'm not saying this defense is going to be top 10. I agree that I think this defense is going to be not that great. But it's going to be top 30. That's all they need.
It's still going to be really good at stopping the run. I think it's still going to be kind of bad at stopping the pass. I think it's going to be bad at pass defense.
So that's the thing that I don't know how I feel about that. Because I'm reading all, like, I just have to see it. I have to see it because I'm reading all of these stories, right? And so as an Ohio State fan, I have this perspective of the instance of, you know, Ohio State lost Kerry Coons because he wanted to go play. He wanted to coach in the NFL. Right after that, they hired Alex Grinch, who was not good. And everyone in Oklahoma loves him, but he was not good at Ohio State. They hired Greg Schiano, who is solid, but he doesn't adapt to his players. So he was trying to run a scheme that wasn't good for the players. And then Kerry Coons comes back. Well, here's the thing. Kerry Coons is one of the best, if not the best, DB recruiters in the nation. So while their older guys may not be the best, although people are really high on Seven Banks, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. Everyone thinks he's going to jump. Part of the reason they're a bad pass defense is Cameron Brown, their other corner, who I think is the better one, and just his Achilles in week two, and Sean Reed, which is hot garbage. He was absolutely garbage. He was just so bad. What am I trying to say? I'm rambling. Their recruiting has picked back up to the level it used to be.
Okay.
So if they have 3 or 4 freshmen, redshirt freshmen, who are like really good. And so you have to be careful with that. But I think that they have the depth in the instance that if they find out Seven Banks still isn't good, if they find out like Cam Brown gets injured again, what they didn't have last year, is they have 5-star, number 3 corner in the class. This guy's a 3-and-done, going to the NFL guy waiting. Who, and again, maybe you don't technically want to play him because a lot of people don't want to play freshmen. But if you don't have to play him until week whatever, like, if you don't have to play him until week 6 or 7, they're going to be ready to play. So that's why I struggle with they're going to be bad, because I think they have the players, and I think as long as the coaches have, just to be honest, as long as the coaches have the balls to sit an older guy for a younger guy if he's not playing,
yeah.
I think that they should be fine. Not special, though. but they're not. Last year, their numbers were, they were 122nd in pass defense. They were 87th in yards per attempt, 87th in QB rating, 111 in completion percentage, and 75th in explosive pass percentage. The other thing with that is their defensive line.
That's why I say. That's why I said it's like when it's a game that's when it's a big game for them, it can rear its big head, its ugly head, because usually, so like the Wisconsin game, we can just talk about that game real quick. You got an NFL quarterback, NFL ready quarterback, and even if they're bad, if it's just bad for Ohio State, that could be bad against a real quarterback.
That's fair.
Which we've seen before.
That's fair. But I think the one thing that, you know, and I'm just trying to show both sides of it, because I'm not talking to this. I'm trying not to talk about this as a fan. I'm just trying to say the one thing that's like, they were bad, but they were good against Clemson, and Trevor Lawrence was.
That's different. I think that game's an outlier, and just because they wanted revenge on Clemson so bad. So I think that's why I think that is. They wanted to show that they were better than Clemson. And that bad that they weren't even going to let Clemson get started in anything.
The other thing that so they were number 6 in rush defense, right?
Yeah.
But they were number 71 in negative play percentage, because
they're not getting in the backfield.
Yeah, their defensive line. Like, I mean, they lost Chase Young. Before that, they had lost the Boses. It was a tough year. And so a lot of the things with Ohio State this year is similar to what it is with Alabama. It's we haven't seen it, but we're just expecting that it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that in all of the weak spots, there is a player you can point to and say, he should fix that, right? Like, you want to say the what if, right? You want to say the what if. I think Zach Harrison is going to be better. I think Tyreek Smith is going to be better. I think Seven Banks is going to be better. That would fix that would think. And then this is not me saying that. This is like the what if of Ohio State, of like, you have another year.
Okay.
You also have to give them, it was COVID. A lot of them are new starters, that kind of stuff, right? I think, you know, you don't want to do that for a team like Ohio State, but they did still have to go through.
Oh, I mean, no, every team did. Besides SEC, I think everybody played there.
Yeah. So you want to say, right, they had all of this going on, and all this same thing that we said for Wisconsin, same thing that we said for Penn State, right? Mm-hmm. It's another year. They're younger, they're old, they're older, more experienced, full offseason. You want to predict that those players will be better. But even if they're not, you can point to Jack Sawyer, the number 2 defensive end in the class, who literally looks like he's a grown man. He's like ready to play immediately. You look at JTT, who, one of the things that I'm going to talk about, my pit stop, Ohio State does this thing that signifies if you're ready. He came at the start of camp and lost his black stripe in less than 10 practices. Like, you, and then again, you talk about the corner. They have Denzel Burke, and they have these other players who are all former 5 stars. So that's where I think the optimism comes in. Okay. That they won't have a bad defense.
Okay, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a really good defense. Like, it is Ohio State. It's one of those schools that just, you know, pulls it together.
But my question is, especially when you look at Ohio State, right? You also have to look at national championship contender. The biggest question that I have with them is, what is it going to be though? Is it going to go from, you know, is it going to go from 59th total defense to 30, which is sure it's a jump, but that's not good for Ohio State. Or are they going to be Ohio State again and get to top 15?
I don't think they're going to be Ohio State until next season.
And I agree with that. So that's when it comes in. It's like, okay, are they vulnerable? Are they vulnerable against Indiana? Are they vulnerable against Wisconsin? Going past that, do they have a chance to be an Alabama or a Georgia or Oklahoma?
Yeah. They still have a chance. They're just vulnerable. But they still have a chance to beat them, of course.
So that's what's going to be interesting. Offensively, it's, you know, right before we started recording, they announced that C.J. Stroud is their starting quarterback. The one thing that I am going to say as a fan, I'm a little bit frustrated with this starting quarterback thing from a national thing. Because we saw DJ Uiagalelei play a couple of games against Notre Dame and someone else in Boston College. He looked great against Notre Dame, but I'm not high on Notre Dame. And they almost lost to Boston College. Not saying he's going to be a good quarterback, but they lost Trevor Lawrence, who people think is the greatest quarterback of all time. Everyone predicts that they're going to be fine. Alabama lost.
You know, okay, I don't understand that. You know I don't understand the hype.
I don't understand it either, but that's what people say. Alabama lost. Jalen Hurts, Tua, Mac Jones, all within 3 years. Bryce Young is another good quarterback, but we haven't really seen him. Everyone assumes that Alabama is going to be fine. So I just don't understand why no one assumes that Ohio State is going to be fine. Like everyone,
no one assumes that. You sure? They're still ranked like four. So yeah,
when you put them in the conversation of those teams, everyone's like,
I think that's crazy to me because they definitely people should be more sure about Ohio State than they are Clemson.
That's the point that I'm making, right? People are saying, and again, this is, I'm saying this as a fan because there is a chance they lose the game. But people are saying, I'm not so sure if they beat Oregon because I don't know if they're going to be good at quarterback. Like that's the thing that I'm trying to say. And so it's just like, it's just weird that like teams who are in like Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson are all in a very similar position. They lost some of their best players. They all have new quarterbacks. Their defense has not been as good as historically. And, like, everyone looks at Ohio State, but, like, of the three teams, Ohio State has the better quarterback coach. And Ryan Day, they have a high, like, so.
I think Clemson might lose three games this year.
I think they have the ability to. I'm not high on Clemson at all this year. So I'm going to take the fan out of it now because we're just talking about the Big Ten as a whole. I just think that's weird, but I don't understand how you can feel so highly about other people. I just want consistency. If you were worried about all three teams because of the quarterbacks, that's fair because you should worry about all three teams. If you thought all three were going to be great because of history, that's fair. But I think they're all in the same category where it's like, how can you feel good about two and not the third?
Yeah.
And they're all in the same category.
Yeah. Because they're still ranked top five in every preseason ranking.
We can nitpick and say that they shouldn't be ranked lower than Clemson, but that's nitpicking and doesn't
matter. Yeah, they shouldn't be because they beat up on Clemson.
That's really only been his only good pass for real.
The game they've been getting after him.
Yeah, their offensive line sucks.
Yeah, and Bill's defensive line is really good too.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss Justin Fields. So anyway, so CJ Stroud is the starter. I am. So CJ Stroud is the starter at quarterback, right?
Right.
He's a former four-star, almost a five-star quarterback. Ohio State's offensive line is going to be absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
Did we talk about that on here, what they're doing with their offensive line?
No, I don't believe so.
So Ohio State has two of the three or two of the four best offensive tackles in the country.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are going to say number one is Evan Neal from Alabama. That's fine. But they have Thayer Mumford, who's a three-year starter, and they have Nicholas Petit-Frere, who is going into his – So Thayer Mumford is going into his fourth year as a starter. Nicholas Petit-Frere is going to his third. They have a younger guy who was like the 1,000th rated player in his class, and DeJuan Jones, but he's like 6'8", 300-something pounds.
Oh, can he move?
Yes.
Because he's playing tackle, coach. So can he move?
Yes.
Okay. Listen,
he's so good that they're moving their three-year starter at left tackle to guard.
Oh,
moving their right tackle, who's a two-year starter, to left tackle, so this dude can play right tackle.
Right tackle.
Mm-hmm. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, do you know how good you have to be to supplant a three-year starter who's projected to be a number one pick? Not a number one pick, I'm sorry. A first-round pick.
He could be. There's been number one picks that's been linemen.
If it was, it's going to be Evan Neal. But also, if the number one pick is not a quarterback, I think it's Kayvon Thibodeau.
Okay.
But, like, he's a chance to be a top 15 pick.
He might be, like, top five.
Yeah, and I think he's
depending on how the season goes.
Yeah, I think he's good enough that like it's going to be a pick your poison kind of thing, where it's like, does this team prefer Evan Neal or does this team prefer Thayer Mumford, right?
Right.
But that says the point of how good DeJuan Jones is, that they're moving Thayer Mumford to guard.
That's crazy. Because it's really hard to go from tackle to guard. It's easier to go from guard to tackle, but the other way around is really...
I think it's easier to go from tackle to guard only because guard... A lot of guards don't have tackle size.
True. Okay, that's
true. The hardest thing for tackle to guard is lowering your pad level. Mm-hmm. Like, guard to tackle, you can't make up the size. Like, guards are like 6'2", 6'3". Tackles are like 6'5", 6'6". So, like, and like, arm length, whatever. But... That, I think, is just important to say because that means that their offensive line is going to be stupid.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. That's a big offensive line.
Their offensive line, I think someone put it, I wish I would have written it down. Their average with him, their average offensive line is like 6'5", 320.
Oof.
If they play it like that, that's ridiculous. And then they have Paris Johnson, who was the number one offensive tackle in his recruiting class, playing guard because they have two good tackles. And then you have a highly rated center who's most likely going to be Harry Miller. Harry Miller was not very good last year, but he was playing out of position. He was playing at guard.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one that's kind of like, because that was the thing. They were really good at tackle, but going into the year, people weren't sure how they would be at center and the two guards.
Yeah.
So now you have the number one offensive tackle in his class playing one guard. You have a three-year starter playing another guard. And then you have Harry Miller, who is the quote-unquote weak spot, but he's playing his natural position. So you hope that he'll be better. So their offensive line should be really good. We know what they are at wide receiver. We don't need to talk about it. They have Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. The question, they were not good at running back last year until Trace Sermon was good the last two. Have you heard anything about Travion Henderson?
No, I haven't heard anything.
So Travion Henderson... It was like the top three, or maybe he was the number one. He was one of the best running backs in his class. And so a lot of people think he's going to start. But they also have another running back named Mayan Williams, who is another recruited guy who was really, really good last year in like his spot starts. So they should be better at running back. So it seems defense is an issue, right? Potential issue. But it seems like all of their quote-unquote issues at
on offense, yeah. Especially if that line is, again, like we were saying the same thing with Wisconsin. If the line is solid, the running backs will be good.
Yeah, because that was the same thing with Wisconsin last year.
Yeah,
the line didn't meet their standard, and unless Thayer Munford just has a tough transition at guard, I don't see any way their line's not good.
Okay, yeah.
So, surprise! Ohio State's gonna be really good.
And then win the Big Ten.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. I'm sure you when you came on this podcast, you didn't expect it. You didn't think we were going to say Ohio State was going to be good. You didn't know what we were going to say about them. But I'm really excited. I'm going to put on my fan hat again. I'm really excited about Ohio State this year because they're young. And there's not a lot of time that you get to see young teams.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. I'm predicting Ohio State to win the national championship, and I'll tell you why. I don't think they have the team to win the national championship in a sense. I think that's next year's team.
Okay.
Like how you said, you think they're going to get back to – they have a chance to get back to Ohio State as far as defense next year.
Yeah.
I think next year is a team that if you were looking at it, you would pick them to win the national championship. I think this is Georgia's year. Like, when you look at a team, like, Georgia should win the national championship this year. That's how I feel about them. But Ohio State has a tendency to win national championships the year that they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lose the year that they should.
Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't have won in 2002. They should have won in 05, 06 when they lost to Georgia. Florida. They shouldn't have won in 2014. They should have won in 15.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're almost always a year early. So
I see what you mean.
I think because there's so much turnover at the top, Clemson's probably not going to be that good. No one trusts OU. Georgia should be really good, but it's Georgia, and they always lose to Alabama, even when they shouldn't, because Georgia should already have a national championship or two. Alabama is going to be good, but there's some holes. I think they're all on equal footing.
So I think you're saying, like, what I'm getting is this is probably the most open opportunity for someone to win a national championship
that we've had in like 10 years.
Okay.
And in that instance, I think Ohio State gets it.
Okay.
Just because
if that's the case, I do think Georgia will win the national championship then.
They should. They should. And I'm really high on Georgia. I think they should. I I would be surprised. If Ohio State or Georgia does not win, I'll be very surprised.
Okay.
I honestly think we could see Ohio State versus Georgia in the national championship game. Because I think there's a chance that Georgia's number one and Ohio State's number two, which means they wouldn't play into the national championship game.
I think – so you know what's going to happen. I think you guys are going to get cheated out of that number two spot, and it's going to go to Clemson for some stupid reason.
Even if that's the case, we're three. It will be.
And then you have to – no, three has to go against four, right?
No, it's 1-4-2-3.
Either two or three. Oh, if four ends up being Alabama and not OU, and it's one Georgia Alabama.
Oh, that would hurt my feelings.
If Alabama's taking that game,
there's no way that Alabama loses that game. Because for that to happen, that means that Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship game.
And then that's why they would lose in the playoffs.
They're not going to play. They're not going to beat them twice.
Yeah.
So, OU, I know I haven't said too many good things about you, but please get that number. Please get that number four spot so Alabama misses the playoffs. Clemson, I know I'm not high on you. But
no, there's six teams this year, right?
No, it's only four.
Still four? Okay, when they do that? When they introduce, I know they're thinking about introducing more teams.
They're going to 12.
That's such a huge jump.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But that's what I was talking about. Why they think that Alabama is going to and stuff. So they're trying to push that until 2025.
Okay.
Because 2025 or 2026 is the year that the contract is up.
Mm.
If they start it early, it immediately goes to ESPN. If they wait till it goes out, everyone can bid on it. And that's the only thing that may come out of that alliance. Okay. So do you have anything else to say about Ohio State?
Nah, that's all I got.
So Ohio State, we have them 12-0. We'll just go through the schedule just because. They start out against Minnesota. Then they play Oregon.
Akron.
We'll talk about this a little bit, like once we preview, but just like a quick highlight for the folks. The Oregon game. Do you think it's close or do you think
it's a blowout? It's a blowout.
Okay. So then they play Tulsa, then they play Akron. Poor Akron. Poor Akron. Then they play Rutgers, then they play Maryland.
That's so sad. Akron go get beat up on national television.
Yeah, that's going to be bad. Then they have a bye. Indiana, I think, is their toughest game of the season, but they get Indiana off of a bye. That's not good for Indiana.
No.
That's just not good.
It's not. Indiana gonna get beat up on Penn State. That's going to be a nice game.
Yeah.
That should be a really nice game.
That one's going to be tough because it's coming right after the Indiana game.
Mm-hmm. Like, Indiana's going to give them a fight for about a half. And I'm hoping it's the second half so they're tired going into the Penn State game.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. So Indiana and Penn State back-to-back is definitely their toughest two games of the season. I think they win, but those are the ones where it could get ugly. And those are the ones that you're talking where, like, it could be, you know, like that, like the defense.
It could show. Yeah.
If they can't get to the corner, right? If they can't get to the quarterback with their defensive line, if they can't get to the catch point, you know, that's really going to show.
You know what? It's crazy. That Michigan game, because I'm skipping, because, like, come on. They're beating Nebraska. They're beating Purdue and Michigan State. Like, those are all blowouts. And, it's those are just blowouts that you see coming. But the Michigan game, right, in Michigan, that's going to be such a hilarious blowout because it's in Michigan. I'm getting drunk for that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, I don't know if, like, maybe we come to your house, we come to my house, like,
something
doesn't matter.
I'm getting because it's sad because Jim's not losing his job. I think we've been over this. He got an extension, right?
Yeah.
So he's not losing his job, but it's just going to show how stupid that extension was.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, right? Ohio State's always motivated to go to the Michigan game.
Yeah.
But they're going to be extra motivated this year because they feel like Michigan canceled the game last year, so they didn't go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, it was COVID, but, like, they were at a chance where they could still play. Everyone was playing. Like, everyone was playing when it was real close. And Michigan was like, nope, we can't do the game. And a bunch of people at Ohio State.
Now, I wasn't mad at that, but that's just more of a health thing than I'm – but I think it's like – because I wasn't mad when any of the sports went away due to the health reasons. So I'm always going to take health over a sport. So I wasn't mad at them canceling that game, but I see what you mean.
I agree, but and I'm again, I'm not saying that that's my opinion, but a lot of people, there's reports that people at Ohio State feel like Michigan could have played that game because they were able to, quote unquote, legally by like the rules.
Yeah,
and they just chose not to.
Yeah, because then they played the next. They played the next week, right?
No, that was the last game of the season.
Was it the last?
No, they did play. They played the bowl game or whatever.
Yeah. I was like, no, they definitely played right after that, and people were upset.
Yeah, so Ohio State people feel like they were like, yeah, we're going to do this just basically to screw over Ohio State. So there's going to be extra motivation. It's Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Thayer Mumford, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Haskell Garrett. It's all of their last games against Michigan.
Yo, oh, it's their last. Yeah. Yeah, blah. Now, you know,
Zach Harrison, all of them are going to the league after that.
Yeah, so my thing is like, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are going to be so mad at me. The best thing that could happen is Michigan win because it's the funniest thing in the world. It would be truly the funniest thing to happen. And only is because I live in the city of Columbus, so everybody's an Ohio State fan. So to watch everyone I know and care for be sad because they lost to Michigan would be the greatest day in the past few years for me, because it'd just be that hilarious. You guys don't know how much I enjoy funny stuff. Losing to Michigan would be hilarious. They're not going to. It's going to be like a 50-20 blowout. But so I might throw a prayer out there for Michigan to win that game.
Yeah.
That's so I can have that laugh.
Here's the thing, right? Ohio State needs to lose to Michigan at some point because it has to be a rivalry. And the rivalry is best when they're both winning.
Yeah,
But
it's not going to happen for a while.
As an Ohio State fan, I don't want them to lose to Michigan until Jim Harbaugh gets fired. Because
that's why I want.
Here's the thing. If he beats us, they're going to give him an extension.
He'll never lose his
job. And then he'll never win a game.
Nope.
So it's like, let's get him out of there. Get a new coach who can inspire some things. Then, if it's a good series, it's fine. We lose a couple, we win more, whatever. But if Jim Harbaugh wins, they're going to build him a statue. And he's never going to leave.
Never.
Like Wolf of Wall Street?
I'm not leaving.
That's because Jim Harbaugh at the press conference if he beats Ohio State. Drugs and all.
He ain't going nowhere.
He's going to be on Quaaludes.
This is my house. I run this. I'm the captain now.
Oh my God. This is why Justin Fields don't need to play.
You tripping. Yes, he does. He is young. They have to, like, he's fine. Like,
not behind that offensive line. They just tried to kill that man.
It didn't look like he saw him coming.
Because the line can't block. Anyway, so there are a lot of people who are predicting Ohio State to go 11-1. We're predicting 12-0, 13-0 with the Big Ten Championship game.
Yeah.
If you had to justify 11-1, like if someone, if the football gods came to you and said Ohio State is losing a game
before the Big Ten,
yeah, which game do you think they lose?
Penn State.
You think they beat Indiana? You think they beat Oregon and Indiana, but lose to Penn State?
Yeah,
if they were to lose, I say
if they were to lose a game, maybe no to start the season, no, because it's to start the season with Minnesota. So yeah, Penn State.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I beat Penn State. There's no way, because the team that should be two teams. It should be Michigan and Penn State. It should be,
but it's not
going to be. But it's not going to be. So that's why I'm saying just Penn State.
Yeah, I think Penn State and Indiana would both beat Oregon. I don't think it's not that Oregon's not good.
Wait, what? We're talking about who they may lose.
Ohio State plays Oregon. I'm saying I think that Penn State and Indiana are better than Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
And if they were to play, I think they would beat them. So I think they'd beat Indiana, though, because, again, they play them after a bye. Mm-hmm. So the one loss I could see if they were going to lose would be Penn State.
Penn State, yeah.
Okay, so those are our last two teams. So what we do get into, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it just because it's only one game, but we get to preview our first game because when this episode drops, it drops on Monday. That Saturday, we have our first week zero game, our first college football games of the year. And one of those games is Nebraska versus Illinois. So I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's just one game. But what are your initial thoughts on that game? Or what are you going to be looking for? Let's see. Who did we have winning that game?
Yeah. It's a good question.
We have Nebraska winning that game. Both of us.
Yeah.
Have Nebraska winning that game. And honestly, Nebraska should win that game. Yep. If Scott Frost wants to keep his job,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not sure he does. because I'm sure we all saw the reports that Nebraska's under investigation for having illegal workouts and stuff during COVID. They moved their entire weight room off campus, so non-football.
That's really wild to me.
So non-football people wouldn't know that they're working out just for them to suck. So that says a lot. So I'm not sure that Scott Frost wants to keep his job, but if he does want to keep his job, he has to beat Illinois.
He got to beat Illinois that first game. What I'm looking to see here in this is probably both teams to, especially Illinois, to probably like to settle on that identity. And it looks like I think we talked about they're going to be more of a run strong team,
yeah.
Up the eye, two tight ends. So like both teams just to solidify their identity. It's going to be sloppy, of course, because again, it was a sloppy year last year. It was a sloppy end to the year last year. So we've had a lot more time for practice. But it's been a long time since these teams have hit.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a sloppy game. I think this might be like a lot of turnovers, and I think it might be Illinois who has most of the turnovers. I think Illinois' offense will have like three turnovers, but Nebraska will turn the ball over on offense in like special teams, something like that.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we're decently high on Illinois as far as in their future.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But Martinez should be a really – he should at this point be a good quarterback. I think for Nebraska to be what people think they are, this should be a blowout.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
To start the season?
I don't think it is. Okay. But I think if Nebraska is what people thought they were going to be, and if Scott Frost wants to keep his job, I think he needs to make a statement.
And it has to be this game. Okay.
And nobody is going to be mad at Illinois if they get blown out because they have a built-in excuse of a new coach.
Yeah.
I think Brett Bielema is good enough that they're not going to, and I think that they're going to be better year one than expected. And we talked about that they're going to be solid because they had a good year 2 years ago when they weren't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But Nebraska should blow them out.
Okay. I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
I think
it's going to be like a 10-point game.
I think it's closer.
Really?
And I think Illinois leaves, win or lose, I think Illinois leaves with confidence.
Oh, yeah.
And Nebraska fans are like, this might be bad.
Yeah.
I'm looking for another thing for Nebraska, Cameron Martinez, no interceptions. I
don't believe this game,
but that's what I'm looking for.
Like, it's the first game. He definitely throwing one or two.
But if I was a Nebraska fan, his biggest problem has been interceptions and fumbles. If I was a Nebraska fan and I wanted to be,
he's having one of those, if not both. He's having one of those.
So if he does, right, I think it needs to be a great play by the defense and not a mental lapse.
Okay.
I'm just saying, again, these are not things that I believe are going to happen. These are things that I think need to happen for Scott Frost, Nebraska, and for the fans to leave with confidence on this season.
Hmm. That makes sense. I can see why you think they definitely need to have a blowout win. It's just I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either.
Especially not this early in the season. I don't think Nebraska's offense is that explosive to start the season off with a blowout.
That's fair. For Illinois, what are you looking for? What do you want to see from Illinois? I know you said their identity. When are you
play with, like, play like you have really nothing to lose, because that's how you end up having a decent season at the end of the year.
Yeah,
play free, have some fun out there. That's what I want to see.
What do you think happens, win or lose? What do you think needs to happen for Illinois to leave this game? Like, okay,
don't get blown out.
I think if what you said happens, one, they don't get blown out. They force a couple of turnovers, whether it's on special teams, interceptions, whatever, because you said it's going to happen. I think if they don't get blown out, they force a couple of turnovers, and they have a couple of really, like, dominant-looking drives, even if it's only two, right? Mm-hmm. But if they have a couple of dominant-looking drives where they're essentially, like, you know, because you talked about identity, right? If they decide they want to run the ball, if they have a couple of drives where, like, they look unstoppable. Right, they're running the ball. They're getting their blocks off. Everything's happening the way it's supposed to. I think they leave with confidence.
Yeah, they gotta. They have to. That is the one thing. Is like Illinois has to do anything in their power in this game to make sure they leave the game with some confidence that at some point, even if it's later down the line in the season, we can compete in our conference.
Yeah. So, let's see what the over-under for this game is.
Oh, I haven't checked that. Wow.
I know. We can, like, it's real football. We can, like, do this. So, I don't know if this is accurate. Oh, this is February. Oh, this is also basketball. It's hard to find the over-under.
Oh, wow.
Like, there we go. I was about to say, they're not ready for football season. That said, February. So, I don't know how to read betting things. Because
if it's a negative number, that means they're the favorite. If it's a negative number near their name, they're the favorite.
Okay, so Nebraska is -7.
Oh, so they're favorite, wow, by a touchdown.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
So, the projected score for this game is 24-6. I don't know how you get a projected score and have a spread that don't match, but I don't know how. I'm sorry.
I don't know how that works. I definitely don't know how that works.
I don't know how betting works, but that doesn't matter. I just wanted to bring it up, and we'll try to do this. You know, this is from Odd Shark, but the projected score is 24-6 Nebraska. The spread is 7. What do you think the score is?
Oh, okay. So, all right. So now I think I understand it. So the bet itself is that Nebraska wins almost by 20 points with a leeway of 7. So, like, there's a chance that Illinois puts up another touchdown. You still have that 7 gap. So that's what I think. That's what that means.
Okay.
So, I think it's a 24-21 game.
I think that's fair. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be like a weird score. I think it's going to be a lot of like field goals.
I was thinking that. I was going to change my answer.
I could see I don't know if Nebraska scores 27. I could see like a 27, like a 27-17. I could see like a 24-21. I could see.
I was going to say a 23-19.
We got a 23-19.
something real ugly. I think there's going to be some ugly scores, but I don't think either team touches 30.
Oh, no.
Especially, and you also do have to say, it is week zero. They are playing early.
Yeah.
I do, the one thing that I do hope, I hope it's not like a 17-14 game. I'm going to watch it regardless, but I do hope that they get some points.
Yeah, some points.
Okay, so we both have Nebraska winning, but we don't have them winning big. We said Nebraska, at least I said that Nebraska should blow them out if they want to have confidence on the season. Yeah. Illinois, win or lose, is going to leave with confidence. I think if they keep it a one-score game and they show some toughness, force a couple turnovers, I think that's really all that you could ask for Illinois. Although, I mean, obviously you want to win, but I think as an Illinois fan, if you're watching this, I think if you saw that game, you would leave with some confidence. I think you should be confident in general because Brett Bielema is a good coach. And yeah. I think there's almost no way he doesn't turn this around, but you do want to see that on the field.
Yep.
Okay. So let's wrap up the show with our pit stops. Do you want to go first or should I?
Yeah, I'll go first again because we'll end it on a more positive note. I just wanted to complain about the gaming industry. I'm just really sick and tired of getting video games for full price, and now they cost $70, and they're not complete. The other day they just said that Halo is only coming out when the game launches. It's only supposed to be the multiplayer that comes out. The campaign, or at least the co-op campaign, doesn't come out for like another month, and I just don't understand how you can have me pre-order a game. And then on the launch day, the game I paid for isn't released.
Yeah, that is becoming way too common. Like, you know, I bought Madden because I'm sick in the head and I'm in an abusive relationship with EA. And, you know, one of the things that I'm most excited for is franchise mode because they're adding, well, I mean, they're touching franchise mode for the first time in 10 years and they're adding a bunch of stuff. It is. They're adding a bunch of stuff that seems really, really cool. But one of the biggest things is they're upgrading scouting, but it's not going to be ready at launch. Well, it wasn't ready at launch because it launched on Friday. It's not going to be ready until an update sometime in September.
And I think that's also a crazy thing to me, that a sports game where scouting is probably one of the most important part of creating or maintaining a successful franchise was not in the game for about 12 years, something like that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. You know, and there's so many things you could say about the gaming industry, like the fact that, you know, there was no consensus on if I buy a game on the PS4 and then I buy the PS5 or the Xbox One and I buy the Xbox X, that I get the game. But, like, this game comes out in September. The new system comes out in November. So I don't get that game for free. I got to buy it again.
That blew my mind. It's a company, so it's about money, but that greed is just, it's outstanding to me that, because in a way, because especially with EA and Madden, there's nothing else you can play if you want to play a football game, especially a simulated football game, which, again, Madden isn't. It's supposed to be, but it's not. It is an animated base game. It's not simulation. So not only is it a bad game in my eyes, it's lying. It's a bold-faced lie every time you spend $70 on it.
Why do you say that?
Because it's not a simulation game. It doesn't play like a simulation sports game. It plays like an arcade sports game. Because it's more animation-based than it is skill and simulation. But they say they produce a simulation football game, which from the last few times I've played Madden, it's just not true.
I'm not sure I agree with that one.
I think you still have rose-colored glasses.
No, so I think I disagree because I typically play against a computer.
And to do that,
you have to have skill. Like,
well, I mean, yeah, but it's still animation-based. Because, well, think about it. Why Shallow Cross? And again, I haven't played Madden since 12, okay. And I know that play still works against the computer. I know the computer cannot stop Why Shallow Cross.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't entirely disagree, but I do see what you're saying. So do you still do you feel the same way about 2K?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I think and that's my vice. That his is man, mine is 2K. I think 2K hasn't tried since 11. Maybe 14, maybe 16. But I truly don't think they've really tried to innovate since 11.
Yeah, they've been doing all the things. The worst thing that happened in sports games is they started putting money in them. Because then they only put effort into the things that you could pay. And there's literally no way you could pay for something in franchise, which is why they stopped making updates for franchise.
I just heard last night, 2K is doing seasons, which is cool. Should have been doing that a long time ago, but the new stuff you can get are animations. I'm sorry, I'm not getting all my animations from launch. I'm giving you $70. So every few weeks or maybe a few months, a new animation comes out that we might not know how it works because we haven't had a chance to really practice it all year. So you could drop a broken animation or a game-breaking animation in the middle of the season and then try to take it away and piss off your customers because you should have been giving us this from the get-go.
Yeah, Madden has been doing that. They've been for a couple of years. They've been doing not animations. They've been continually updating the game.
Oh, okay.
And like adding in different like features and stuff like that.
Really?
Different like stuff like that. They have been doing that.
Is that stuff usually towards Mutt?
So Mutt gets updated a lot. But they have been making like gameplay updates and like that kind of stuff consistently. Like,
oh, see, no, that's different. Like to fix a bug or stuff. Like, yeah, 2K gets that. I'm talking about like they're giving you like dribble packages and different dunk animations every few months, like something new.
Yeah. So Madden was doing stuff like that. I mean, it's not the same because like you don't get a different spin move, but like they were putting like different like superstar X Factor abilities.
Oh, okay.
And, like, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Like, okay.
Things like that into the game. The one thing, you know, and before, so we don't run too long, we can go to my pit stop. But the one thing that I will say about 2K that I don't like is the dribble packages don't matter. Because as much as they try to do in the stick, it still only does like three moves.
Well, most people are only going to, yeah.
It does the behind. No, like I'm saying, like I try to do the other moves because
it was better. It was easier in 17 and 16. You could get more animations.
But now, no matter what you do, they do the hezzy, they do the behind the back. They spin, but spinning isn't even easy to do because half the time you spin, they steal the ball, especially in 19.
Yep.
If you spun left in the lane, it was always stolen. They even make it hard to euro step.
Yeah.
So the gaming industry is trash. And my biggest thing, like, I'm not as critical of sports games as like Dante and some of my other friends, because at the end of the day, part of the reason I spend the money is I want the updated rosters. I want the rookie. I just don't have like as high. But I also qualify this by saying I'm not a gamer, so I'm not super critical. I'm critical of 2K because I feel like 2K really, really drops the ball.
It has a higher ceiling than Madden has given itself because Madden has lowered its bar so low that where you say that it's adding scouting is exciting, whereas like that should have been in the game from the jump.
Facts, that's fair.
And 2K set their standards so high, it's like so that they each year they just keep doing this.
Yeah, and like Madden already went downhill, so yeah. We expect less from Madden. So I'm not as critical, but I'm also not a gamer. So I just play sports games. I'm going to buy it regardless. But the one thing that does bother me the most, though, is don't give me, especially from non-sports games, like the Halo thing, don't give me a game that you don't drop every single year and it not be complete. Because like Madden has made this excuse, whether you agree or not, they made the excuse that we only have X number of months to turn over a new game, so sometimes it takes longer to make these wholesale changes. I don't believe it because you're a billion-dollar franchise and you could just hire more people.
Yep.
But if that's the excuse you want to give, at least there's some sort of basis.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time they dropped a Halo?
I have not.
They've been working on it.
Yeah, because they finished the trilogy. So
don't give me a game that you don't drop every year and not be finished. I didn't even know there was a new Halo coming out. So if they pushed it,
it had to be delayed because when they dropped their trailer, it looked like Xbox graphics.
I do remember that. Delayed again. That's the thing. It's like, no, like people only expect those types of games. Like UFC is another one. UFC doesn't drop on a regular schedule.
It doesn't.
This last UFC was good. I'm just giving it. Like, if you ever have a game that doesn't drop
on, and it's still not as good as Undisputed 3.
That's fair. You have, like, if you have a game that doesn't drop on a regular schedule, just don't tell us when it's dropping until it's finished.
And then, like, a month, and do it a month, and then tell us a month before it drops. Or maybe 3 weeks. Like, oh, or just drop a trailer. Boom, our game drops at this time.
And then we're going to buy it.
Cyberpunk. Yeah, I just said I'm about to buy that when we're done recording. But Cyberpunk was a highly anticipated game. It had several different delays and was still broken on launch. It's still broken today. It's just sad. But we need to get into your pit stop because we are over.
So mine is going to be quick. I just wanted to give a shout out. I love college football. I love college football traditions. And I think some of the traditions are really cool. So I just wanted to highlight a couple. The reason why I thought of this is, as we talked about with Ohio State, you know, their secondary has some weaknesses. And in the past week, there were three straight players in their secondary who lost their black stripe. And if you don't follow Ohio State, the black stripe, what they do, you know, Ohio State's helmet has the red and gray stripe down the middle. For new players, whether that's transfers, freshmen, whatever, they put a black stripe on their helmet, and you get it taken off when you officially become a member of the team, meaning you've shown effort on the field, the playbook, nutrition, workout, like you've done everything to be official member of the team. And it typically works out that people who lose their black stripe, they typically lose it when they're ready to contribute. So mm-hmm. if you have a freshman who loses it early, you typically see them in the game. So it's not something that's just kind of like stupid. Like, it actually typically shows correlation. Like, you remember, like, oh, this guy was really good. He lost his black stripe early. Then you start to see him play. So I just thought that was really cool because I thought that was like a thing that people can strive for, especially as a freshman who may not play. You can strive for losing that black stripe and becoming an official member of the team and showing that, like, you've made progress. But some of the other ones that are cool, once college football allowed you to wear zero, Ohio State started a block O tradition. I don't know who's going to wear it this year. Jonathan Cooper was the first one to wear it, and I think the meaning is an Ohio State specific meaning, but it's very similar to LSU's. LSU, their best player, their best playmaker wears number 7. Kent State has one for an offensive lineman who unfortunately passed away. They wear number 54, and someone who honors that tradition on the offensive line gets to wear number 54. And that also made me think about it because Kent State just released who's wearing 54 this year.
Yep.
And so it just made me think, like, these are the cool things about college football. Like, we talk a lot about the negatives. We talk a lot about NIL and NCAA and, you know, conference realignment and some of that kind of stuff. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget that these are 18 to 22-year-olds. There's so much fun and tradition and things that happen. And so I just want to mention that because I look forward to it, and I hope it's something that people remember and people look for. Like, these little traditions, these little things that you're going to start to see at the end of camp, you know, teams releasing their captains and, you know, like the University of Miami turnover chain, and now a bunch of people having turnover staffs, blankets, buckets, all that other kind of stuff. Like, those are some of the things that I'm most excited for. And those are the things that, like, when I'm on Twitter and I see, like, LSU announced this player number 7. Ohio State player lost their black stripe. This person's doing this. It's like, those are the things, like, oh, the walk-on scholarship. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the kind of things that just get me excited about college football.
I love the walk-on scholarship videos. Those are really great.
That's definitely the best one. Yeah. Because, like, those, like, as we didn't walk on, but we had to pay our tuition.
Yeah.
Someone giving us a scholarship, a full ride scholarship for a year would have been life-changing.
Yeah, really.
So that's our pit stop. That is our episode this week. Really excited. I mean, this is our last episode where we're not talking all football. We got to preview one game, but after this, every episode is straight season. So thank you for
coming. Right into it now.
I mean, we're there. It's football season.
It's football season, guys.
So thank you for traveling I-70 with us this week. If you enjoyed the episode, leave us a 5-star review. Mention Dante and I. You can find me on Twitter at JordanW330. You mentioned it once, Dante, but where can they find you on Twitter?
And I said it wrong, too. At DanteM10216. I'm going to mess up every week on something. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to mess up every week.
If he says his Twitter wrong, you can just follow my Twitter and follow him from my Twitter.
Yeah, that works.
But as always, thank you for listening.